So the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. Hear, brothers and sisters, the word of God. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all of the nations. A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul also. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And that is the end. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God abideth, remaineth forever. This is the word of God. I'm going to invite Trevor to come up now. And our Lord and Saviour, we pray for Trevor now, that you will be with him as he speaks to us God's word. Lord, we believe this is your word, and we pray that you will speak it through your servant this morning. Fill him with your spirit, Lord, and with boldness. Help him to be able to articulate the things that you've put upon his heart, and may it be received well by people that love your word and want to know you more and want to worship you more. For we ask it for the glory of Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Jamie, and good morning, everyone. Good morning to everybody listening in as well. It's been a very different Christmas for us all, I'm sure, hasn't it? But nevertheless, it's been great to be able to celebrate the birth of Jesus, hasn't it? Jesus, the light of the world. And we're going to continue this morning looking at the Christmas story, as it were. Last year was the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing. And I'm old enough to remember that. I think I was 15 when that happened, and I was about to start work for an engineering company. I was very taken up with engineering, so I was fascinated by this first moon landing. The whole thing, I was very excited about it and read up about it. And it was the The Apollo missions, which took the first went to the moon first, were powered by the Saturn V rocket, which was about 363 feet high. And this rocket had three stages to it to enable it to accomplish the first moon landing. And the first stage was to get it out of the Earth's gravity, and that fell away. And then the second stage launched it on its way to the moon, and then that stage fell away. And the final stage of the rocket with the command module and the capsule went on its way to the moon. And then of course after they'd landed on the moon, a tiny capsule came back to Earth. It was a tremendous achievement, and immortalized by those famous words now that Neil Armstrong said when he stepped onto the moon. That's one small step for man and a giant leap for mankind. Well, today we're looking at another mission, much more important than that, greatest ever mission, and it was God's plan to save the world from sin, which has already been alluded to in many ways this morning in our service. And God's plan was also in stages, and it was also over a very long period of time, and it's continuing today. But in today's reading, we learnt about an important development in God's rescue plan. In one sense, you could call it a small step, the birth of a small baby. But it was actually a giant leap in God's plan for the salvation of mankind. Many wonderful things happened around the birth, the star in the sky, the angels, the wise men coming. But the prophecy of Simeon in Luke chapter 2, which takes place after the birth, highlights the significance of the birth and how important it is in God's plan of salvation. So we just have a quick look at the circumstances, which I'm sure are familiar to many of us. And then we'll look at the meaning of the prophecy. And we'll start off by reading in the verses there that Jamie read for us, that after the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary travelled to Jerusalem to carry out the purification rites. And they went to the temple in Jerusalem where these purification rites took place. And Luke actually mentions three separate ceremonies which were required by God's law for the purification. There was the purification of a woman, which took place 40 days after the birth of a child, which we can read about in Leviticus 12. Then there was the presentation of the firstborn to God, which is in Exodus and also in Numbers 18. And then the third one was the dedication of the firstborn into the Lord's service, which we read about in 1 Samuel. Now, in one sense, this dedication was like many hundreds, thousands that had taken place in the temple for centuries. But this one, of course, was unique because the little baby there was Jesus Christ, God's only son. Now, all these ceremonies may seem strange, sacrifices seem strange to us, but they indicate how seriously Judaism took approaching God in worship and how prepared a heart and soul one should have as they address God. And then we come to Simeon at the heart of the passage today in verse 25. As Joseph and Mary proceed with these rites, they meet an old man called Simeon. Now, we're not told a great deal about Simeon, but it does say in verse 25 that he was righteous and devout. And in the Old Testament, the word righteous was used to describe Job and many of the prophets. And the word devout was used in Greek culture of statesmen. So then we can conclude from this that Simeon was seen as a wise and elderly man who loved and followed God throughout his life. And we read as well in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Jamie reminded us of many of the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah this morning. And the whole of Israel was waiting for the Messiah. His coming was famously prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in 750 BC. So the whole of Israel was waiting. They knew he was coming, but they didn't know when he would come or who it would be. But when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, Simeon was there. And in verse 27, we read that he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He knew by the Holy Spirit that the baby being presented there was the promised Messiah. Can you imagine his excitement, his joy? What a joy and thrill for him after years of waiting, wondering how God will fulfill the promise. And maybe sometimes, I'm sure at times, he must have doubted that it was going to happen. But there, all of a sudden, he realizes by the Holy Spirit that this little baby in his arms is God's prophesied Messiah. What a joy and a thrill for him. I was trying to think of an example, because reading these things with hindsight, we sometimes lose the impact. It's a very poor example in a way, but I was thinking of how Liverpool became league champions last year. It was last year, wasn't it, Dot? Yeah. After how many years of waiting? I see, and was it 30 odd years? Just imagine how some of those older fans must have felt. The ones who haven't got many years left to live. How they must have felt when Liverpool were finally league champions. They thought, I can go to my rest in peace. Liverpool have become league champions. A little bit light-hearted, perhaps, and a very poor comparison. Jamie can't stop laughing over there. But nevertheless, hopefully gives us a little bit of a flavour of what it must have been like. It's a million times better than that for Simeon to have the Messiah in his arms. How joyful he must have been. And, of course, he offers up these wonderful words from verse 29 onwards, where it says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." So, Simeon begins then by saying how God can take him home now. His calling has been fulfilled. And by seeing the child in front of him there, who is the Christ. And he finishes what's sometimes called the nunc dimittis by saying that Jesus will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and will be the glory of your people Israel, the Jews. And here then is at the heart of what we want to look at this morning. It's where we get the explanation of the importance of this new stage in God's plan of salvation. There in verse 32, we learn here what this baby is going to achieve in God's plan of salvation. And it says he will be glory, the glory of your people, Israel, the Jews. Now, every nation has heroes. We have our own, don't we? Heroes and heroines, books written about them, and statues erected about them, erected of them, and great leaders. And Simeon says that this baby will be the glory of Israel, the greatest Jew ever. It's so true, of course, as well, isn't it? We know that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and then ultimately he laid down his life on the cross to save us from our sins. There's no doubt about it, 2,000 years later on, that Jesus was, and he is, the glory of Israel. But he also prophesies that Jesus would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. Now, to any Jews who might have heard this prophecy, the mention of the Messiah being a blessing to Gentiles would have been surprising to some, shocking to many and even blasphemous to others, that somehow the glory of Israel, this the most glorious Jew that's ever lived, has ever been born, is going to be somehow connected with Gentiles, would be really shocking and as I say, even blasphemous to some. Back in 2014, Tony Blair, Prime Minister at the time, was being interviewed about his faith. And his well-known spin doctor, Alistair Campbell, interrupted and said, "We don't do God." Some of you may remember that, and it's become quite a famous thing. Now, the mantra of the Jews living at the time at the birth of Jesus might have been, "We don't do Gentiles." Because in their minds, in the Jewish minds, Jehovah was their God, and they were his chosen people. And the acceptance of Gentiles by God was unthinkable. But now, as Christians living in 2020, however, we can see that the prophecy of Simeon is true. The good news of the gospel has led to the establishment of a worldwide church of Jews and Gentiles. Prior to the coming of Jesus, salvation had been limited to the Jews, but the birth of Jesus led to the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles, to the whole world. And we're blessed to be able to see that today, aren't we? We can look around our world. We've got links. Our church has got links with Myanmar and Bezier, and we've probably got other links as well. A worldwide church. We see the glory of that. We're part of it. What Simeon prophesied and accepted by faith, we see in reality today. We are blessed to be living in this gospel period, blessed to have heard the gospel, blessed to have received Jesus as our Savior, blessed to be part of this church family, and blessed to be part of the worldwide family of God. God's plan for the salvation of the world had taken a huge step forward with the birth of Jesus. One small baby in Bethlehem, a giant leap for the expansion of the kingdom of God to include Gentiles. So another stage in God's mission of salvation was successfully completed with the birth of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit had revealed this to Simeon. Just imagine his joy, the long-awaited Messiah in his arms. Another little bit of a comparison. Again, it's a poor comparison, but might help us to get our minds around that. Right from the start of the pandemic earlier this year and the lockdown, the hope for a release from it for us has been a vaccine, hasn't it? And as we waded our way through those early days of lockdown, when our lives had been uprooted and changed so much, and we were, you know, worried and scared and afraid, and we still are. It goes on in a sense, but all along, right from those early days, I can remember the experts saying to us that the salvation, the way out of this for us, is going to be the vaccine. And of course, a couple of weeks ago, when it was made available and we began to see it being rolled out, there was a real sense of hope, wasn't there? It gave us hope. It gives us hope of an end to all these rules and regulations and this fear and that we're living on. But the coming of Jesus was so much greater than that. But he was the hope of Israel. And when he was born, he became the hope of the world, and for Jews and Gentiles. Let's just take a minute to just reflect on that and just close our eyes perhaps and just give thanks to God in our hearts and minds for Jesus, the Savior, came for us, for Jews and Gentiles. Let's just reflect for that for a moment. And then just to bring things to a conclusion here now on our little look into Simeon this morning, as I started off saying, that Saturn V rocket powered the first mission to land on the moon. There were three stages to it. And actually it started off very big, huge rocket, as I said, and it got smaller and smaller. And as I said, just the tiny capsule came back carrying the three members of the crew, returned to Earth in a tiny capsule, completed their mission. But today, as we've been thinking about God's mission to save the world from sin, having stages two, I'd just like to remind us of how that happened. It was quite the reverse of the moon landing with going from large to small, because God's plan started in a small way. It started with one man, Abraham, didn't it? Abraham, who God chose 4,000 years ago. And then from Abraham came the huge Jewish nation. That was the second stage. And from the Jews came the Messiah, the third stage, which ushered in a new stage of God's plan of salvation. By his death and resurrection, the old system of sacrifices was no longer needed. It was jettisoned, like the first and second stages of the Saturn V rocket. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was enough for the sins of the whole world and has opened up the way for people from all nations to be saved. And as I said earlier, we see the reality today as we look out on the worldwide church. In that sense, it's a glorious time to be alive, because by repenting of our sin and believing in Jesus as our Savior, we can be born again and enjoy a relationship with God. That's great news, isn't it? Good news. The gospel. But it's not the end, however, either, because there's one more stage to come. And it's going to be even more glorious than the current one. The best is yet to come, friends. The Bible teaches that when the gospel has been preached to the whole world, the next and final stage of the kingdom of God will be ushered in. Jesus will return, the final judgment will take place, and then heaven and earth are going to be renewed. Let me just read a few verses from Revelation to remind us of this. Chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." The fourth and final stage, the new heaven and new earth, is coming. It will be free of all the pain and suffering that we currently experience. And if we trust in Christ as our Savior, there'll be a place there for us in the new heaven and the new earth, where we'll spend eternity praising God, as described in Revelation 7, where it says this: "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever.'" Amen. I'm sure we can all add our own amen to that, can't we? And look forward with hope and anticipation for that. Now, it's hard for us to understand, I'm just coming to a close now, but it's hard for us to understand how this will happen. And sometimes we have our doubts about it, I'm sure. But we can learn lessons from Simeon this morning that will help us. He had no idea when the Saviour would come or what form he would take, but he exercised faith that God would keep his promise to send a Messiah. And he also lived a godly life while waiting patiently for the promise to be fulfilled. So let's follow his example, living as we are in these challenging times. Let's follow his example, looking forward in faith to the new heaven and the new earth, and living godly lives as we wait patiently and expectantly for the Lord's return. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the account of Simeon and those beautiful words he expressed as he held the Saviour in his arms, the Saviour of the world. What a joy and a thrill for him. What a joy and a thrill for us as we've celebrated again this year the coming of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to dispel the darkness, to save us from sin. We rejoice and give you thanks and praise and glory and honour for his coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to be our Saviour. Thank you for living that wonderful life which teaches us so much about God and how to live our lives. And thank you for laying down your life on the cross and setting us free from the power of sin and death and from the judgment to come. Thank you for rising again in glory. And we look forward to the time when you return in glory and in power to usher in the final stage of your plan of salvation. We give you thanks and we praise you for being your children. And we ask you to help us to live a life of faith, to live lives that are pleasing to you and lives that are witness to others around us. Help us too to spread the great good news of the gospel to others who are living in darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.